Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Scream Queen, a podcast about scary movies.
From people not typically depicted in scary movies. How's it going, Dre? What's going on? What's happening?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. Look at me. I got my Fenty skin going on. I'm glowing. I got a nice dewy glow. That's fancy. If you want to send me any Fenty, Riri, don't.
What have you been up to? What have you been watching? What have you been listening to? I tried to start Raised by Wolves, that one on HBO. I don't know about it, though. Yeah. People seem to really like it.
The costumes. The costumes are really stupid.
They're a little bit much. But, like, here's the thing. The main little boy is named Campion, and I don't know why that just irritates me. And all anybody says throughout the show is Campion, 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 Campion. It reminds me of, like, Lost. Remember that Australian lady in Lost? The only thing she said the first season was, my baby. It's just like that. It irritates me. So I didn't get past the second episode. And to be honest with you, I'm not really, like, want to consume stuff that's like about religious fundamentalism. I'm just not, like, that's just not my thing. And it's just like about these two warring factions of, like, atheists and, like, super fundamentalist, like, Christians.
Oh, that's what it was all about.
Yeah, who, like, destroy the earth, and then it's like, okay, whatever. But I did catch
too much. You did what?
I did catch The Boys.
Oh, okay.
Season finale.
What did you think about what did you think about that?
I think,
like, seeing homegirl go to her ass kicked.
Oh my God. When those three women was beating on her, I was like, I watched that 69 times. I, like, rewinded it and then watched
it
again.
69 million times. You're a liar.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I really did.
I thought it was 69 million.
It was 69 million. Sorry, it was 69 million technically.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, she couldn't get out of there quicker. Her ass flew the coop. Literally.
I was waiting the entire show for that moment. And when it happened, ooh, I was like Rocky at the top of the stairs, like, yes!
She got it. And I did not feel bad about it for 1 second. Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of underwhelmed by certain things in this season. I really felt like Lamplighter they wasted his character. And, like, that whole, who's the main guy? Huey? Hugh? Yeah, he's really...
I'm unnaturally attracted to him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's very annoying at times. I'm still rooting for him, but he's also... I also can't get with how he can be cool with A-Train, like, after A-Train ran through your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this season was a little...
Train on his girlfriend.
A-Train ran train on his girl. That he did. But, like, what I really, like, I think what was, like, a kind of a miss for me was, like, this season was very heavy with its message. You know, like, first season, it was just like, these are ridiculous people with superpowers. And this one is like, we are saying something about, like, it just felt, because, you know, keep America safe, make America great. It felt like it was more commentary than the first season.
It was too on the nose. Yeah, they didn't have to do that because we were already understanding, like, you know, the absurdity of what was going on with these characters. And that's all they had to do was just keep playing into it. But then they bring in, like, I wasn't into also Homeboy's relationship with Homegirl, like, back and forth and, oh, it'll never work because you don't love my child. And, oh, now I'm
back in your that life stuff.
Because... oh, I need you to protect me and my child. And I was like, I don't fucking care. Like, this is really stupid. But yeah, I'll watch next season.
Yeah, me too.
Other than that, yeah, we'll get into that other thing. But what else have I been watching? I feel like I've seen something and it's on the tip of my tongue. Let me think about it. It is, what did I see?
I saw Attack the Block this weekend with the Seattle Museum of Pop Culture, which we hosted with them a little while ago. And I was put onto the YouTube page of the hostess, which her name is, it's Zena. I don't know but it was just like she's like a really cool, like she had like one of her videos was like top five zombie snitches and shit like that. So she's like really cool and she hosted and it was nice. It was a good time. And it was nice to hang out with those people again.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have watched it. I ended up doing like a Zoom thing with some friends and I forgot, but I want to have Homeboy back on our show and he's more than happy to do that for us. Because we really like what they're doing over at Mopop and I fucking love that place. Yeah, I can't remember what I watched, but whatever. I'm always watching some shit. Can't remember. But yeah, you want to get into our first discussion?
So this week we're going to get into Evil Eye, the new one from Blumhouse for their Welcome to the Blumhouse series on Amazon. We're going to, of course, be talking about Lovecraft Country, and we're going to wrap it up with Zazie Beetz as, what was her name in that? It was like Anita or Astrid. It was a really weird name. In Slice.
All right. So lead us in, 20.
So this week, Drea and I had a very unique opportunity. We were invited to attend the virtual premiere of Evil Eye. There was like a DJ set and all these other stuff, and you like an interactive house that you can go in and out of. But Evil Eye is part of Amazon's Welcome to the Blumhouse series. It's an adaptation of playwright Madhuri Shekhar's hit audio drama of the same name. It stars Sarita Charity and Sunita Mani as a mother and daughter, Usha and Pallavi, who are initially locked in this push-pull battle over the daughter's nearly 30 single life and later her too soon engagement with the menacingly handsome Sandeep. And let me just tell you, Sandeep can get deep in these cheeks because that man is fine as fuck. Although I'm like, what was the pomade budget on that movie? Because that hair was slick back and it looked hard.
That was not into that hair. That hair was horrible.
It's an epic tale of romance, supernatural invocation, and cultural division. I had a great time watching this film. It had like supernatural elements. It didn't really get into the horror until like probably the last like 10 minutes or so, but I was cool with it. I liked the fact that like we had really developed characters. I thought it was very culturally specific. And like the mother is afraid that her abuser of hers has been reincarnated as her daughter's lover. And you know, you really do get like the melodrama of like the mother wanting so badly for the daughter to get married. And then when she does end up with somebody, the mom is suddenly like, yeah, but like, that's a little bit soon. Like you already, what, you moved in with him? He's paying your bills? You quit your job? Like that the daughter is setting up a relationship of dependence on this man. And like, that's really what the mother is like trying to ward off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She, well, okay. So the main character, well, so we have, the main character is played by, okay. So homegirl,
Sarita Chowdhury?
No, the other one, Sunita. What is her real name? Oh, is she Usha? Oh, she's.
Sunita Mani plays the daughter, Pallavi.
Pallavi. Okay. Sarita, I was, you know, I recognized both of them. Sunita Mani, she was in Glow. She played one of the
RIP Glow. That was canceled.
Yeah, well, they might be getting a movie to you know, encapsulate it. I don't know. We'll see. I was okay with that show. It could use like, you know. I hope he gets a movie at least. But and then the mother though, she's been in everything. She's been in a little bit of everything. But her number one credit, and my mother was just talking about it like last week, it's one of her favorite films, and also I love it as well. But Mississippi Masala.
With the young Denzel.
Denzel Washington. And yeah, that's her first ever role. And that movie is the shit. It's so good. It's so ahead of its time. That was like 91. Mm-hmm. But just to see, and she looks exactly the same.
She's so amazing. I remember like that movie, and I remember seeing it and thinking that that was the most beautiful woman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was a kid, I was like, this is like the apex of beauty. Like she was just so, and like hip and shit. Mississippi Masala is so good. You should all check that out. But what's cute, what's interesting about it is like that's basically, I mean, she's a little bit younger in that movie, but she's basically with the daughter's age, you know, and to watch her become the mother of the film, it's just like a weird, like time is fucked. Like,
yes, it is. Oh my God. Lord, do I know. 35 now. I mean, I'm just looking back, like, where did it all go?
Where did it go? How am I already here?
I will say, okay, I was really surprised by how far this movie went. You know, I was just thinking about culturally, you know, I know that India is not just Bollywood. I know it's diverse and eclectic, and there's so many things going on over there. But it was violent, and it really tapped into mental health. It tapped into, you know, all the tradition, you know, arranged marriages and all of these things that they deal with. But it was very, very modern and very, very progressive. And I was like, I really like have to commend that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some really outdated ideas of certain cultures. And, you know, not everybody is one thing, you know, certain families, you know, they're evolving. And that's what I saw in this. I saw just a whole evolution.
This is how you do something like The Turn of the Screw, right? Which is like the premise of that movie, or the story is like, you don't know if the main character is actually haunted by ghosts or if she's like mentally unwell. And similarly with this, it's like, is she really picking up on, because she is being gaslit the fuck out of this whole situation.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of the movie Gaslight with what's her name, well, Murder, She Wrote. That's
okay.
Angela
Lansbury. Yeah. But you know, so there's a way in which this could have been a straight up drama, which is like the mother, she hasn't left the house in 2 months. You mean, she never looks raggedy, but like she hasn't like left the house, and they're just kind of, and their dad is like, she's going through something.
Thoughtful, the husband. He's really like, he's not the typical like domineering man. I don't know. He's really trying, I think.
Yeah.
But he doesn't quite understand.
The criticisms that I've seen of this movie are about how it's adaptation from a radio play to something visual, because the play itself is just like the voice memos and the conversations on the phone. So that's like how the play is kind of like framed. But I love this. I thought it was just so like the color, like the saturation of the color was so rich and so deep. And it was just like such a beautiful watch, you know, that like the criticism was that like it didn't get enough into like the Louisiana of it all. And
yeah. I did not feel any New Orleans in there, like other than the fact that they tell you that you're there. It didn't feel like that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a really good point.
Every now and then we'll get like an aerial shot of like the city, but it was like, there was nothing, it could have been anywhere. There was nothing specifically New Orleans about anything in their world. But like, you know, I think that's a very small criticism. I mean, because like, I thought the storytelling was really nicely done. Also like chili powder in eyes. Like that was, I was like, ooh, that, I don't want that.
It didn't stop them. Just riled them up. Riled his ass up.
Oh God, I just really wanted him to like Sonic the Hedgehog right through my body, like with his hair and everything. I was just like, ooh, and I kept being in the chat, like, because alongside our viewing experience at our virtual premiere that we were definitely at, there was a chat box next to it, and I just kept saying things like, I want Sandeep to like slap me across the face, and everyone was like, oh my God,
how did
LOL.
They not block you? What is wrong with you? What is wrong?
I was like, I want him to pull all of my teeth out one by one. Like,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
There's something very right with me, okay?
I love how you spin things. That is your magic right there.
Interpretation. although I will say that, unfortunately, because not everyone was in the same chat, so like I wasn't in the same chat as Drea, but there was, at first, there was like this one person who was a little bit off. and they talk about, oh, why is this old lady practicing voodoo, like da 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 da. And then it got into like, white actors are way better than brown ones. And then it was like, is this how you think you're going to beat Trump in 2020? And everyone was just like, kick this bitch out of the chat.
That's why I don't be fucking with them chat rooms. They just get, they go left like it, that.
So
although MoPop, when we did it, that was super enjoyable. Like just chatting with everybody. I really had a nice experience with that. And I usually like, well, not to even get too off topic, but the first time I ever got AOL, like the Friends disc in the mail, like when it came out, I remember I put it in my dad's computer and me and my friend went to like the kids zone, like, and they're like, make sure you don't go to any places where I'm like any like, you know, unnecessary adult areas. And I went into a chat room and of course adults go into chat rooms and pretend to be kids. This guy kept asking me if I was GH. He says, are you GH? And I said, what's GH? And he goes, you know, GH. And I'm like, what is that? He goes, gay. Are you gay? He's just saying like all these, I'm like, and I'm like, why didn't you just spell out gay? And me and my friend, this is like the sixth or seventh grade, I'm just like, you're stupid. Or like, whatever. And then I just like hung up and I never went back on a chat room. I never did AIM, never did any of that shit. I just never saw the point.
Damn. So you just got traumatized early. I'm sorry, chat rooms were a little bit before my time. I kind of came up like decades later, but like I understand, like I remember reading about that in history books.
I did party lines though. I would fuck with a party line.
Did you ever do Chatterbait or what, the chat roulette or whatever?
Chat roulette. I occasionally fuck with that. Like
Chatterbait's the one where they jack off in front of each other, and that's just different. I've never done that. Did you ever like get drunk with Becky?
The same thing on chat roulette. What?
Did you ever get drunk with Becky? Because drunk Becky loved chat roulette.
Oh yeah, she's one of those people that definitely would go on. Yeah, for sure. For
sure.
The Real Housewives or Basketball Wives on in the background.
And it would always be some random ass people in there, and then every now and then somebody be like, faggot, 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 faggot. I was like, oh, can we just not have anything nice?
Traumatizing. Like, oh, you know, I catch a couple of like, ooh, or I just go on there to flash people. Me and my friend, we just like woo, and then next. And then but yeah, it was just having to interact with that kind of negativity once or twice, it was enough to like, nah, I'm good. I don't need to put myself through this anxiety.
But yeah, back to this premiere experience that we got to have though. I mean, it was really fun. And I also just kind of, I just missed watching things with people.
Yeah.
Cause like Dre and I were like,
what it is. I don't care where I'm at. I don't have, I do miss the theater, mm-hmm. but it's the camaraderie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There were like photo booths that you could go into. So Dre and I were sending our photo booths back and forth. It was a really fun experience, and I hope to do it again. If you're listening, please invite us back. We would love to do it. There's so many new Blumhouse shits coming out. I don't know if you've seen the other ones, but there's like Nocturne, The Lie, Black Box. Yeah. So I'm excited to just like dive into those, you know?
Mm-hmm. And this one just came out today. I believe on Amazon.
Officially. I mean, if you're like one of the regular people, you didn't get to see it a day before. Yes, it came out today.
So stupid. My main issue with the film maybe was the pacing, you know? And I thought it accomplished quite a bit. It wasn't super scary or any of those things, but I thought the acting was great. Everybody kind of, you know, they brought their A game.
Oh, they ate it. They definitely did.
Yeah. I was feeling it. Yeah. And again, Sarita, she's just so gorgeous. You know, she's got like a Monica Bellucci kind of thing about her too. Mm-hmm. Like just like really regal and just so flawless. But yeah, she's, oh yeah. And she almost gets gutted.
Oh my God. First of all, when they first entered, like a knife first came into this film, she was like chopping very thin cucumber slices. I mean, we did not give her her due for how thin those cucumber shits were. But then she like chops her finger. And then later on, there's like a thing with the dad. And it's just like, anytime I saw a knife, I just got real nervous.
Always, always, always. I don't like
gets that shit close right contact in the ribs. Shit.
And I knew it was coming. As soon as they started like tussling, I'm like, oh Lord, she's going to get stabbed. And I just don't want to see that, but
it was a very tense dinner.
And I mean, but also also homegirl was like, when she realizes, like, holy shit, because they both had, it was interesting that he just kept buying the same pair of earrings, which is a fun little twist, but I wanted it to more, I don't know, I guess that's the only way it would have worked. I thought it was like he regave her the same earrings he tried to give her mother, but he just kept buying them, so that's how they.
He just likes sapphire, I guess, but when he first presented Pallavi with the earrings and she was like, dude, it's like been a month, like what's, and he like looked like he was about to have a panic attack, and I was like, ooh, this man is not good.
Are we taking them sapphire rings after a month? What the fuck's wrong with her? I don't even give a shit about no rubies or diamonds, but I would have taken them.
I mean, they're pretty, you know, but, and I would definitely have taken them from him. And everyone in the chat, when they were like, run, and I was like, I'll take him. I'll still take him. Like, I don't really, you know.
Well, we know you got issues. You don't got to tell the fan base.
The hoe jumped out. I'll tell you that much. The hoe jumped out and was like, I don't know. I mean, I know he's like the reincarnated, man who hit my mom head on concrete, but I don't know. He's really nice though, and he'd be paying for my apartment and shit. Like,
I was hearing this. I was watching the Comedy Store, the new documentary series on Showtime, and there is a terrible joke on there. It was cracking me up though. Damon Wayans talking about his sister when she got beat up by her boyfriend, and he like knocked her teeth out, and she was like, "But I love him though. And there's just something about him."
This is not 2020 approved, I believe. But.
Is there something about him?
I mean, you know, hey. Sometimes you just gotta laugh.
I mean, it's terrible, but you know, I really—that's what a comedian can do. They can take something and make you look at the situation. And yeah, this is the thing that's—I can't wait until domestic violence comes to, you know, a halt. You know, because these men's, we just need to start beating their asses like from the jump. Like, I'm super down for that. Just what so did you know?
What did you make of the end? Because in the end, like, I thought it was a really great.
He's in the baby now. He's in the baby.
That, like, but her point was like, men like this always exist.
Yeah.
You know, and you never really get rid of them completely. Like, they keep being born. Like, toxic masculinity is the thing.
I tried to tune it out at the end because I knew, it was trying to tell me all that. And I'm just like, that's just sad to think about. But I really do believe one day, I don't know if I'll be around to witness this, but one day there will be no more of that, you know? It just won't.
Well, just, we...
There'll be laser guns and shit, like, man getting blasted in the dick.
People riding dinosaurs and shit. I mean, full matriarchy now, you know what I mean? Like, if it was just the matriarchy, I feel like everything would be better, but unfortunately we're stuck with what we got.
For now, it's moved. We are progressing. The world is changing. Trump's probably gonna die of COVID, so yeah.
FBI, that was not us, that somebody hacked our mic.
I want him to go to jail. I honestly just want him to go to jail forever. But, I mean, if that's what we get, then I'll take that, too.
You know, and if he peed himself a couple of times on camera, I wouldn't hate it.
He's going to have a full-on meltdown. Like, I mean, not that he hasn't already.
I mean, he's unhinged.
He's going to shit his pants. And
see, because that's the kind of thing I wanted to happen to Homelander. Because it was like, I there was a lot of racially specific deaths on Stormfront's angle. Homelander just kind of killed everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't want him to die specifically. I just wanted him to be humiliated, and they gave me that too. So that was just cherry on top.
Yeah, and then he went and jerked all over the city. He loves jerking off in front of the city. That's real fun for him.
He'd be liking that shit. The cakes were nice though.
The cakes are very nice. I will not deny that. And you know what? He's very good at that character. I was super annoyed with Stormfront's character. Like, I liked where Aya Cash was going with it, but I didn't get it. I mean, I get it, but it was just very violent. And I guess, you know, it has to do with what the times we're living in right now. Having to hear that another storyline like that, and this lady being openly just like so hateful. It was a lot. And I just, yeah. They could have killed her off like four episodes ago.
I mean, honestly, they could have. Anthony Starr is like, he is so good at Homelander because, you know, I watched the rewatch show afterwards that's hosted by Aisha Tyler, and he is absolutely unrecognizable as himself.
Because what's his real accent? He's Australian or something?
Yeah, something like that. He talk weird. And he also has like glasses and dark hair. So he's like literally Clark Kenting on that shit. And I'm like, I wouldn't have recognized him. Because he's got such a smarmy energy as Homelander that he doesn't have as an actual person.
Yeah, I could tell. But yeah, he's not that. And that's one that I will actually say he can get it. Yeah, Homelander can get it. Yeah, he can.
Is he going to laser your tits off?
No, I'm going to laser my titties off. They're nice, but he can blast my ass real quick.
Wow. And with that note, I think it's time that we pivot because we don't need to be talking about this no more.
Those pop buns. Yeah. So, yeah, overall, I'd say watch Evil Eye. The acting was fucking on point. It's a great story and it's well told.
All right, Shall we pivot? Shall we pivot?
Let's pivot. All right. So, this week on Lovecraft Country, we go back to Tulsa and rewind 1921. And it is a lot. And, you know, just when you think, like, every time this show just keeps getting better and better. So, like, last week was, episode 8 for me was the one I am. But this one did some really remarkable things as well. It was to even tackle that subject of going back. So we open up and Lancaster hasn't died yet. And Dee is, she's being taken over by the spirits and the curse that he put on her. And we don't know where Hippolyta is. And everybody is basically just trying to figure out what they can do. Christina Braithwaite, Ruby, brings her over. She is able to get, you know, the spirits out of her, but she's still, what is it? She needs the blood of an ancestor all the way back, like her great-great-grandmother or like a cousin or something like that. What is it?
What she needs is the Book of Names.
She needs the Book of Names. Okay, that's what it is. But she needed some blood.
For Christina. So Christina basically did like a reset spell. She couldn't banish the spell completely, but yes, she could reset it. So that would give Dee a little bit more time until they found the Book of Names. So what they needed was blood from her closest relative, which they assume is Montrose. And Montrose has to tell Tick, it might be you because that might be your sister. Like George might be your daddy.
I don't understand why she can't. Okay, isn't her what about her mother? I don't
know. Her mother was missing. Remember, Hippolyta hadn't come back.
But when she comes back. Oh, so okay. So they gave her the blood before Hippolyta shows up.
I think so.
Because I was confused by that. I'm like, if she gets that, then she's good. But I mean, even after they give her whatever she needed, they still have to go back and get the Book of Names and from Montrose's, or is it? No, it's Dora and Hippolyta's. Whose family is it? I'm getting, because they live right next door to each other.
I know. I'm kind of running it back in my mind. No, it's in Tick's family, so it must be in
Tick's side of the family. So it's Montrose and George.
But they did go into the other house and get it.
But they went into the other house. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was over there. It was with Dora and...
Right.
Or Dora left. It was with Hippolyta.
Because Dora's Tick's mama. That's right. Okay, yeah. Okay. And so it was in that house.
Yeah. And then... So they have to split ways. First of all, they get to the time machine. Hippolyta is like, I ain't got fucking time. Like, I ain't got time. We going to make time. Like, y'all need to get your asses in the car. Like, I've been to how many worlds? I spent this much time here and this much time over there, and I got all the knowledge I've ever needed in my life, and I'm going to put it to use.
I loved seeing it, too. Hippolyta the bad bitch. Like, yes. We have been waiting for this version, this evolved version of her final Pokemon form or whatever.
Yes, they keep bringing her X-Men form, whatever it is. It is amazing. So she comes back. She's like, I'm the motherfucking motherboard. We're going to plug this into me, and then y'all have to just do your job. I'm going to do my part, and you do your part.
Because they're like, we don't have the key. And she's like, bitch, I am the key.
The key is the key.
That's from Jumpin' Jack Flash. The key is the key. I've seen that movie 70,000 times.
My mother has probably the only person who's got you on that. I think she's seen it about 700 million times. That is, that she'll constantly have that movie on. The key is the key. That
was her. Those were like, she was doing proto chat rooms in that one. She was like,
yes, on them old ass computers. So she, she gets them back, and Montrose is freaking out because he knows what that, he has to relive this horrible fucking night. And
probably just, the most traumatic day of his entire life.
Entire life. And then you discover with what happened that day is he let go of a potential, his first ever love. He broke up with him. And in that same instance, like not long, like minutes later, mob brigade, whatever, they came through and they shot him in his head, like right in front of his face. And Atticus witnesses this as with his father as they look at a young Montrose. And he understands in that moment, like what was going on with him and why he's been through so much pain. Also, right after they get in, one of the first things they see is Montrose get beat to hell by his father with the freaking, like, he not even a switch. It's a freaking whole branch. He just breaks it off on his back. Horrible. Mm-hmm. And so he's starting to understand why his father has been the way he is, or this man in his life he's been calling his father. And in that moment, it was really beautiful. Also, you brought it up, but yeah, when he gets the bat, it's like his Jackie Robinson moment. He comes in and saves the day. That also reminded me of Signs. When Joaquin Phoenix, swing away.
Oh, God. Why would aliens who die by water land on a planet that's 70% water? Okay, I'm just going to say it. Signs really pissed me off. That was when I was like, this M. Night Shyamalan doesn't really think things out, does he?
That movie is fucking great, first of all. I love Signs. But hey, what are you going to do? Mr. Science is over here. yeah, it's a good movie.
It's but, okay. It's okay a really until you good movie. See the aliens. It's a really I don't like when you movie. See the aliens. It's I liked it when it was really speculation. You know what I'm talking about? When it's it wasn't just like thinly veiled Christianity or whatever. I just, I really liked it before. Very good movie. But you know,
Mel Gibson and all. But, you know, it's real good.
Sugar Tits. You miss me on Sugar Tits. That's all I can say about that, man.
Sugar Tits? Oh, is that what he called the cop or
the cop? Yeah, I think he called cop Sugar Tits, something like that. I was like, these white people are bold as hell.
1, 2, 3, and 4. I still watch some Mad Max and some Road Warrior. You know, sorry.
Is that the one that Tina Turner's in?
Mm-hmm. She's in the Thunderdome one.
Ah, okay.
So, hey, what are you going to do? I said, hey.
This episode was deep. I mean, I cried for every single one of the people in it, like separately about something different. And when Tick, like when he breaks down in front of his dad and he's just like saying, like they're kind of like sobbing together, I was just like, oh, take me out. And for him to witness the genesis of his father's or a genesis of his father's self-hatred that then got passed down to him. Like, that's just, like, that inherited trauma. I mean, there's so much trauma in this.
What Black men deal with, you know, and how vilified they are to this day. There's so many levels to it. It's such a difficult subject. And I really thought, you know, it's been a journey to watch their relationship, and it's been really frustrating. But I really feel like that they really summed that, like they brought that together beautifully. I was worried about how they were handling certain queer storylines. I was worried about, how, you know, certain things, but it's all coming together. It's really, really nicely coming together. And I'm just glad, you know, again, that something like this exists and they're, and it's such a fuck you to the author, you know, not of this Lovecraft country, but to HP himself. It's such a fuck you to him, and I really appreciate that.
Me too.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's nice to see. There was one issue that I had. So towards the end, Hippolyta's trying to keep the portal open, but it's getting weaker and weaker, and she's got froth coming out of her mouth, you know what I mean? And, like, she's sputtering, and Tick is like, you know, do it for D, do it for D, do it for D, and we're just, you know, kind of got, and Letty is just walking. She's like, there's no pep in her step. I'm like, Letty, run! You know, the portal's closed, and she's just like, slowly
walking. It was for dramatic effect.
I know. But I was just like, oh, come on.
She's taking in all of Tulsa around her. And I think because she can't get hurt, she is taking it in. That is what makes that moment so pivotal. It's not that she didn't need to be on the run. She needs to know and experience that moment. Because not only is it, you know, just to read about that experience and know that happened to my people, it breaks my heart. If I had the opportunity to be in her shoes at that moment, I would have been walking through fire as well, watching things burn around me, and because so I could fully experience it. She also just posted yesterday that she walked through and ran off set screaming because she really burned herself, and she had really burned herself bad.
Like she I had saw a whole that, yeah, thing.
Yeah. She held it on, and she's like, yeah, Letty might be invincible, but I am not. And she walked, and then she said she kept her composure and did her thing, and then went screaming off set.
Damn. And
yeah, which made me just all that more invested in that scene. So yeah, it was, I do understand for practical sense, run, but she doesn't know that Hippolyta is on the other side of that thing, foaming at the mouth.
Sputtering. All the foam come out of her mouth.
But Hippolyta was fine. Because what did Hippolyta has one of the dopest makeover. Like, it's like a makeover sequence. Like, and with her like, it's everything that should have happened for Storm. Like, Storm, they never got Storm's hair right. They fucking never got her hair right. But that moment, it was just like everything.
The blue hair can stay.
It is the shit. She is so, that was so fucking cool. I can't tell you enough how much it used to piss me off. Just like, I only ever wanted Storm's hair from like what went in the cartoon, like just big and like in like super diva and drag queen. I only ever wanted that. And they always did these like super dykey, like horrible like cuts. And then like when it was long, it was just flat and like no character. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
remember in the first X-Men where Halle Berry, they tried to give Halle Berry like a Kenyan accent or something like that, and she just did not repeat it in the next few movies.
I forgot about that. Yeah. But this was like, that made up for so much shit. Like, because I feel like Hippolyta, it's interesting. So like Letty is kind of like rogue, you know, in a sense. And then, but I felt like in that moment, like she already has become her full self, but I mean, she just keeps growing. And I was shocked to see her even come on the screen. When she arrives, she's like, is D sick? Where is she? Cause we didn't know how she was going to come back. I didn't know what she was anymore. Like, mm-hmm. Is she coming back as some all encompass, all empowering thing, some entity? But yeah, I think we're going to see just how much power she possesses next week on, you know, the season finale.
Series finale?
I don't know yet. I don't know. So we'll see.
But also in that moment when Letty's like walking through the street, she actually has just seen somebody burn to death. Like,
she watched. Yeah. And it was, and that woman, I've seen her. She's another woman who's been in like a million things. I really liked their interaction with each other. And she was like, I knew something was up with you when I saw them shoes.
The shoes! I was like, shade, madam.
She's like, you better speak up or you get one between the eyes. And she was not fucking playing.
Also, but her dress was everything.
Yes, 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 yes. No. Letty's dress?
Well, no, the old grandma.
Oh, yeah, the great grandma. Yeah, I thought they both looked dope. When Letty took off running and she almost, in that outfit, I was just like, it kind of had like a Pretty in Pink vibe to it, but nothing is as horrible as that Pretty in Pink dress. That prom dress is atrocious. I'm trying to think what else happened in this episode. I mean, the hair was everything. Let's see.
We also get more of Ruby and Christina.
Yeah.
Ruby's like, you know, you're a trifling ass man, all this anger in this house, you better get in this car with me and Christina.
Yeah, but she's like, so she tried, I didn't like that, her argument didn't really hold any water, because she's like, okay, well, Montrose just almost attacked you, and she goes, well, Tiff jumped in there, and whatever, and she goes, but homeboy, or she shot me, she goes, no, she didn't shoot you, her father shot you, and she healed you. And you should jump in the car. I'm like, first, I mean, what's better? What's safer? Tell me. If she hangs out with that chick, she might get shot. She knows that she has this invincibility thing going on. But
she also knows Christina is up to no good.
She knows that. And it's really interesting. Everybody's like has these separate journeys going on, and they're all important, and they're all pivotal, and they have to see like where they intersect and how they're supposed to help one another. Because they're really disconnected, very disjointed. And I'm like, why does Christina Braithwaite need to be immortal? Why does Tick have to die for you to do this? And she's cool with that. She's totally fine with it. And so Ruby's for sure being an asshole. Like,
and she is kind of okay with Christina's plan as long as Christina does not hurt Letty.
Letty's cool, yeah. She's like, well, Tick's going down.
That's a little fucked up.
It's super fucked up. It's very fucked up. I'm excited for next week. I really don't want to see it come to an end.
I know. It's been a magical, I mean, this, when it started off was like the beginning of COVID. And I remember thinking like, well, at least we have Lovecraft Country to look forward to every Sunday. And I'm like, but you know, by September, by the finale, we'll be good, right? No, if you could have just went back in time 6, 7 months, 8 months, however long it's been, and been like, bitch, it's still going to be shitty.
And now your show's over, so you don't got that either now.
No, I got that anymore. But we have all these Blumhouse movies to look forward to. I mean, so Dre and I like kind of text each other when we see new movies coming out, and it looks like there's like a lot of interesting stuff, if not necessarily good, quote unquote good, a lot of interesting things, a lot of perspectives from people who have typically been alienated from this genre, you know, like whether it's queer, whether it's a POC or queer POC or whatever, like we're seeing some nice representations, rumblings, if you will.
Ruby's character, I think her name is Woon Mi. I can't think of her last name. Might be Osaku. But her new film coming out called His House, it's like a refugee horror film. Looks really, really, really interesting.
It looks scary as fuck.
Yeah, I'm here for it. So I'm looking into that. Keep your eye. We will be covering that eventually. I think it's coming out on Netflix, so we can cover it. I'm just excited, you know. I don't know where the show's going to go. It would be super dope if it had like other storylines that it went down, and you know, I would be here for anything like that.
Have you been reading Lovecraft Country alongside this?
I had been, and then I stopped because they kind of divert. They really did. They changed up quite a bit and it just kind of wasn't helping to read the book. It was interesting to, I'm going to finish it just to see how they kind of ended it, but the show's better.
Okay. I imagine because it wasn't, I could see that.
I mean, the book is very good and it's done very well, but it was still written by a white man. And so they took the story and I mean, he did what he could with that, with his work, and I commend him. But yeah, what Misha Green did with it, she flip it up, smack it up, flip it, rub it down.
Oh no! and also Misha Green recently, I think, tweeted or said something about how, like, the thing with Yahima, she was that it would have been handled better. So I appreciated that too. Because it's like, you're not going to get everything perfect. You know, there's got to be room for growth. And also, like, how many times do white men get to like fuck things up all over and over and over and over again? And it's like, you can't hold all of representation accountable to like one person.
No, you really can't. And they've done too much good with this show for me to just like, for us to, you know, just hold up this one negative thing, like whatever. The show's perfect. And I'm really happy and honored to cover it. And great fucking job, everyone included. Everyone involved.
Also, right. Rafael Sadiq does the music, which I didn't know because...
I did say, we talked about it in the first episode.
I wasn't paying attention. I didn't notice it until this episode because the theme, the ending music wasn't Sinnerman. It was a different song. So I was just like listening to it and I was like, oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, Rafael, he's a really interesting individual. He's a really good touch for this show because he's been through a lot in his life. I think he lost like 4 or 5 siblings by the time, like all throughout the 80s of the crack epidemic. And it's all in his music. You would know Tony to the album he just did recently, his most recent album, which is really fucking heavy and gorgeous. Just that voice, that's where it comes from. So I'm really, Misha, yeah, that was just such a wise choice to bring him in there. Like he's also been such a part of my childhood. I've been following Rafael Sadiq forever. Freaking, and he was in the Class Act with Kid and Play, freaking the Pajammy Jammy Jam. Like that is my shit. So, yeah. Do you have anything else to say or do you want to get into our Scream Queen of the Week, Tommy?
Let's do it.
So this week, we are going to take a character from a movie that I thought it was kind of a piece of shit, but I love Zazie Beetz. So this week, our screen queen is Zazie Beetz as Astrid in Slice, written and directed by Austin Vesely, who also plays Zazie's junkie boyfriend, the first guy who gets his throat slit. He wrote and directed the movie. He primarily did music videos before that. There's no other way to put it than it was a hot tune pile of shit. But like, there was like this vaguely sort of John Waters campiness to it. But in this world of ghosts, okay, here's my problem with this movie, Slice.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any motherfucking sense. This is, first of all, Zazie Beetz is hell-bent on getting revenge because these witches came and killed her man. But like, he has a ghost. And ghosts are not incorporeal in this world. You can touch them. They have jobs and they pay rent. So he's still functionally there. So I didn't get why she was so riled up. And like, she is a scream queen, but she does die, but technically comes back as a ghost and partners with Chance the Rapper at the end to take down all the witches. So like, she does, come through, but it's just... I couldn't understand the internal logic of this movie, if there was any to be had.
There's a whole lot of ideas. There were some great ideas and like just all the potential for something really fun and exciting and fucking weird. They had a lot of different familiar faces in there. It should have been good. I kind of wanted to blame, I thought like, oh, is it Chance the Rapper? Is he really boring? But no, he was hilarious on SNL. Like, I think he hosted twice. He was fucking funny. It's the writing. And Paul Scheer, even, he plays like the owner of the pizza shop. He even, when this movie came out, I remember he was like promoting it sort of. And he was just like, yeah, I'm in this movie. You know, it's okay. You should watch it. I was just like, okay, that's fucking hilarious. And I had seen it already and I was like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, you know that movie's a hot piece of crap. But
it's a shit slice is what it is. That's what kind of slice this is. It's a shit sandwich. It's like shit pepperoni on top of shit cheese on shit dough. But Chance is adorable. Noted Beyonce stan Chance the Rapper.
I think it might be Zazie, but I want to call her Zazie. But I think it's Zazie because it's like just like a Zazie Dans Le Metro, like that French movie. That's what she's named after because she's quirky. She's wonderful. You know, she's just such a breath of fresh air. I love her in everything. I love her in Atlanta. I love her as Domino.
Her Domino slaps. I have to say, yeah. She was like the best thing about that movie. And it's like Ryan Reynolds tried his hardest, but she was just like, I'm actually the shit here. Yeah. So.
So try to keep up. She's beautiful and funny and she just brings so much.
She's also got like her brand of humor is like, she's got that self-aware vibe. You know, like she's always kind of, she's really, really playful. I like her style. And also like, I mean, she did what she could in this film.
What she was given, I mean, she brought all that she could. And, you know, they should be so honored that, you know, she was able to elevate it to where she could, because they did not give her a lot to work with.
No, but you know, here's the thing. I remember deciding, I was doing like a movie night, like a COVID movie night with some people, and we were looking through trailers, and this one had the best trailer. It was like...
It had a fantastic trailer, but they show you everything good about the movie in the trailer. That's what all the stuff, and in the trailer, it all makes sense. But yeah, and to actually witness it, it was like, this is, no, what is happening?
Yeah. I mean, the person who did it, like he did, you know, commercials and so I think probably thrived in putting something together that was 2.5 minutes long. But then once you had to actually go and innervate the world and like build out the musculature and not just the skeleton, it was like, and it started off with one of those like campaign videos, and it tried to explain everything about witches, werewolves and ghosts. And it was like, what? Okay, so all these people died.
I couldn't keep up with that, and I was like, "Huh?" I was like, "That is a bad sign."
So 40,000 people die at a sanitarium thing, and then they put a strip mall on top of it and build a pizza on top of that, and then like, build a pizza place, and that. But it's like, okay, but then why are the delivery people being targeted by the witches? And then there's like a mind thing, and then what's his name from SNL is the mayor, and he gets the thing in his name. From the first 3 minutes, I was like, this has already escaped me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's where I was with it, babe. But
Zazzy,
I
we love you.
Yeah. yeah, just hearing about it just made me yawn. But she's amazing, and I'll watch her in anything. I'll watch her read a dictionary. She's dope. But other than that, you know, hey, watch it for her. And Chance is cute. He's real cute. So we can, you know, he hops around. He tries to bring it. It's just you work with what you got to work with.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, I just want to say A24, if you're going to give money to that, why can't you give money to me?
I second that. I'll take some money too. Shit. If you got it to give.
What up, Queens? Don't forget that we got a Google Voice number and we want to hear from you. What's the scaredest you ever been in a movie theater? You can potentially be on this show. Chilling with your screen queens, us, me, Andrea. Our Google Voice number is 619-289-9052. That is 619-289-9052. And paint us a picture. Let us know. I want to know, was there potentially scatological things involved? Were people pissing their pants? Was somebody throwing up on somebody else? Let us know. What's the scariest you ever been in a theater? That is 619-289-9052.
All right. Catch us next week, same time, same place. We're getting into, quite sadly, the final episode of Lovecraft Country. It's called Full Circle. As far as our movie and Scream Queen choice for next week, you'll know when we know.
You know, you'll know when we know. Is it going to be Black Box? I don't know. We'll know. We'll know. We'll know. We'll know, and we'll let you know. Scream Queen is produced by Alexandra De Palma and Domino Sound, with theme music by Doc Allison.
And I am Drea. 35 feels like... wait, no. I don't know. Wait. I am Drea. Sandeep can laser my ass, Washington. You can find me on the gram at Hey Girl Hey. That's HEYGRLHEY.
And I'm Tommy T's Pico. Like I said at the top, Sandeep can get deep in these cheeks. You can find me on Instagram at Hey Teebs, HEYTEBS.
I am Drea. Washington, and you can find me on the gram at heygirlhey.com, HEYGRLHEY. Yeah.
And I'm Tommy. Sandeep can get deep in these cheeks. Pico, you can find me at Hey Teebs, HeyTeebs on Instagram.
And you can find us on Instagram at Scream Queen Podcast.
And online at ScreamQueenPodcast.com.
And send us some love notes at ScreamQueen@gmail.com. That's S-C-R-E-E-E-M, queen@gmail.com.
And in the scary movie of your life.
You better. Scream.
Scream Queen.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.